Brad turned me off. Usually he turns me on. Brad turned me off. Usually he turns me on. Brad. Usually he turns me on. Usually he turns me on.
Does this keep going? This should be an intro for a segment that I will not be a part of.
See, for me to be embarrassed by that, I would have had to have said, oh, that's taken out of context. That was in context.
That was in context. Happy birthday to Ryan Wiggins from 1D to the C.
I figured.
Yeah. You didn't think Brad did that to you?
No, I didn't. Because Brad is prepping for many, many other things.
Also, if Brad would have said that about you, Ryan, that Ryan turns me on, you would absolutely have made a remix about it.
Oh, yeah. That would have been done last week, even though I was on vacation.
But Brad's focus has been the show.
Brad's priorities are right. Mm-hmm. My priorities are also right, but they're different.
This is the old multiple things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ryan
Wiggins. And thank you for all the gifts. And I already opened everything, so hopefully that wasn't supposed to be a part of this segment.
No.
But Brad got me a shirt that is...
Do you have it?
It's in my office.
Okay. But you can describe it for us.
Yeah, I will. It's a Little Debbie... It's a Little Debbie logo,
yeah,
but made into like an adult version.
Uh-huh.
And by adult,
wait,
I don't mean...
Oh, man.
Man, the whole time we were talking about oatmeal cream pies, you thought we were talking about oatmeal cream pies.
Ooh, nasty.
Go get the shirt. Maybe Kyle can get it.
Maybe
Kyle
can
you tell Kyle where it is?
If Kyle can hear
so
us.
So Ryan can stay. Where is it?
It's just in my office. You'll find it. But it is a adult version of that logo in that they have made Little Debbie into an adult, but she still looks like she's trying to be a child, and it says Big Deborah.
Yeah, but she's also had some oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's filled out a little bit.
No, you're implying that she got older. I'm implying that she just had extra cream pies.
Well, she looks older. She doesn't look like the same little kid.
We need to see the shirt. You need to go put the shirt on. When he brings it in, just put it on top.
I don't think he's going to get it.
Well, then go tell him.
Oh, there he's going to get it.
Thanks,
okay.
Kyle.
All right.
It's like the most helpful person in the building right now.
Yeah, he is.
He's been so kind.
And then you got me a gift card to Wendy's, which is terrific, because it said basically go crazy on saucy nugs. And I will go crazy on saucy nugs.
I tried to write on the gift card. But I only had a pen. I didn't have a marker, and it's like a thick plastic.
Yeah.
I was like, screw it. He doesn't care. I put the receipt in there.
Yeah,
so I don't know. With inflation, that should probably buy you maybe like 8 or 10 saucy nugs.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get probably a couple of the Frosties.
Thank you, Kyle.
The Frosties have been on sale lately, so those will go very far. Here's the picture if you want to see it.
Can you? It says Big Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
She has an extra chin.
I don't think she looks older.
No.
No? Same age, just bigger?
She looks fuller.
Fuller is a nice way to put that.
Thank you.
Just like the old saying goes, if you eat too much, you will get fat.
That's actually not an appropriate saying anymore. You can't say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to figure out a PC way to say that.
Oh, okay. If you overindulge, you will carry...
More joy?
Your calories. You will carry more joy.
You'll become more jolly.
Yeah, jolly. Thank you.
Chonky.
Chonky, I
like.
Was
a word that Brad... So it's your birthday and you're a senior citizen now. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Probably lay down on the couch.
Pick out some assisted living facilities?
Yeah, warm my bones by the fire, even though it's like 85.
I was going to say, it's not 85, and then I looked, it's 84.
So oh, I was right. I just took a random guess. Yeah. Look at that.
I was thinking it was
exactly
like
85.
Low to mid-70s, but you almost nailed that spot on. In fact, outside, over there, it might be 85.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
Oh my gosh, over here it is. This computer says 85. That one says 84.
It updated.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, to correct itself to me.
Do you have big plans for your birthday?
Well, my plans were in the past. You know, we went out of town this weekend.
That was for your birthday?
Well... Kind of. I mean, we...
No.
We half celebrated. I got a lot of birthday congratulatory back slaps.
Let me close caption this
for
the folks listening at home that aren't familiar with Ryan enough. My guess here is that you and your buddies, do you take an annual trip?
At this point, we do. Yeah.
So you plan an annual trip. It happened to be the weekend before your birthday, and therefore you declared it your birthday trip.
No. But they did so that they could tell me happy birthday and then not have to worry about it again. So that was
sounds
not on
like
me.
You're among kindred spirits.
I am.
Yes.
That's why we've been friends for so long.
That's good.
Yeah. We did a few things. One of the weirdest things, while we were in Denver, I said, let's do a Segway tour of the Cheyenne Mountains.
We do that every day on the show.
And so we were all four on Segways. Well, there were two other people in our group. And so I shared the picture if you want to see it there. Annie's holding it up. There's me with a helmet on the Segway looking super hot.
Yeah, it looks like it's about 90 degrees.
It actually was. It was really warm
there.
You
were super hot.
Yeah, we were hot. And of the four of us, me and, you know, I'm the youngest of my friend group, so I just turned 43. The rest of them have already turned 43. The other two people on the tour with us were, I would say, in their 60s, brother and sister. We're riding down.
So it was you guys and then this brother and
us
sister?
Us four and then these other two people. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. You get thrown in together.
Sure.
So we don't know them, but we kind of learn their names. We're about an hour into this thing. It's supposed to be a two-hour Segway tour of the mountains. And this guy comes blowing by us. And the tour guide, you know, we're thinking, oh, this probably happens all the time. Because we're on a road, you know, cars are going by. Most of the stuff we're doing is off-road. But we, you know, you got to go down some roads. So this guy comes blowing by us at like 50 in a 30. And we're like, whoa, that was a little a surprise there. And the tour guide, we assume that he's like, oh, you see it all the time. He had never seen somebody try to pass that quickly. And so all of us got a little shaken up. The other couple that were with us, we keep going. Well, we hear behind us another car coming. It was going to do what cars do, which is slow down, go around us. But the woman of the two other people got a little spooked. And so she kind of veered to the side a little bit. Well, she hit the curb. Boom. Oh, no. Went over her handlebars, slammed onto the pavement. My friend who is with us, Dr. Ty Parker, Fountains Family Dentistry, has some medical training. He runs back to try to help her. She has at least cracked one rib.
Oh.
Laying on this pavement.
No.
She may have injured her back. She had blood on her forehead. We think that she actually had ripped off a fingernail and was just, you know, touching her head. But I mean, it was bad. In the 10 years this guy had been doing tours, he said, I've never had an injury until today. So
great job, Wiggins.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you're with me on a vacation, you need to watch yourself.
So did she soldier on for the rest of it?
No, they had to call 911 and we're out in the middle
that's what I'm thinking.
High
like,
up here. I mean, it's a road, so I guess that's helpful. We weren't like in the middle of nowhere. But it wasn't exactly.
But
like,
you're committed at this point.
We're stuck. She can't move. She literally cannot move.
Oh.
And we thankfully, you know, we did have a little bit of a medical doctor training there, so that was helpful. But you know, they had to bring out two fire trucks and an ambulance. And I mean, we sat there for an hour.
Did you ask for a discount on your trip?
I did not.
I'm so proud of you.
I did not.
Oh man!
But the trip was over, and the guy goes, "Why don't we just call it even?" So nobody paid for anything.
So you didn't get it. You didn't pay at all.
No.
Is that why you didn't ask for a discount?
I said, "Can you pay us, maybe?" That was really, really unfortunate for our time.
Kenton says, Wiggins is old enough to have hummingbird feeders on his back porch.
Darn right. I've noticed, you know, I passed 40 now and I'm like, man, those wings move fast. Love to see that in slow-mo. And I pull it up.
You know, you just get to the time where you sit on your porch and look at birds.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting close.
You can appreciate.
Birds are a little more interesting than they used to be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
It happens.
Yeah.
I've heard.
You know, it used to be that I walked by a bird's nest and see an egg that had fallen out, and I think, ha, survival of the fittest. Now I think, poor little bird. And that to me is maturity, that I've achieved the level of poor little bird. I don't necessarily like watching the birds, but I don't want them to die anymore as I did when I was younger. You know, when you're young, you just think this stuff's funny because nature's funny. And you don't mind frying an ant with a microphone, magnifying glass. But these days, you know, I don't go outside and I don't fry ants anymore because I'm 43.
Can you make that in a short for us?
I already marked it.
It's gonna.
There's a nice clean cut there. I don't know if you noticed there was a gap.
I noticed.
There at the end.
We're going to put that just out into the YouTube space. People are going to hate you so much. You're going to get so roasted.
I used to hate animals.
People are going to be like, what's wrong with this guy?
Anymore.
Hopefully they go, We should tune into that show and hear more from this man.
We got to do something that's just over the line enough that it goes viral, but not over the line enough that it gets us canceled.
I'm not lying. Somebody just unsubscribed for the show.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah. I saw the number go down.
I would say it's in jest, but I don't want people to know that.
No, I think that that's real. I think people are leaving.
Oh, you know what? Bonnie is right. She says, Wiggins, only boys do that.
Do you have, are you going to do anything tonight? Do you have like family obligations?
I have no idea. I think my wife just remembered it's my birthday because mm-hmm. she just texted me.
Did she say happy birthday?
Yeah.
Had you seen her yet?
No, because I got in really late last night and I slept in.
Somebody texted her and said,
It's your husband's birthday.
He's talking about it. Is she in her prep period? Is she listening?
No, she won't be listening. So I think she just went, oh yeah. She probably saw it on her planner or something.
The alert came up on her phone.
Yeah. How neat, though. It had had balloons that automatically generated from her text. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel
You know what you should do?
Seen.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should get her flowers.
Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of digging the knife in a little bit, though.
No. Bold move. I'm happy today, and I love you, and I just wanted to recognize you today.
See, I don't know if she'd take it that way.
It's a baller move. Well, it depends on how you present it. You get throw them at her?
No. But I think she would look at it like, oh, you're reminding me that I didn't text you. Because I don't even know if she got me anything. I really don't.
Maybe she can give you the flowers back.
Dan don't like flowers, though.
If somebody gave you flowers, would it make you feel good?
I don't know. If I had just completed a double axle, maybe. But no.
You give me them
otherwise,
flowers and a gold medal.
Yeah. Like if it came with something else, then yes.
I will give you flowers and $100 if you complete a double axle.
Do I have to do it on skates?
Yes.
I'll give you flowers and $100 as well.
All right.
Complete.
I gotta do some risk analysis here. Like, is it worth my time to learn to skate that
just
well?
Just for the actual record, it is not for the show.
Oh, no. It's for the 100.
Because that's
for the hundo.
That's going to turn into an HR complaint and some workers' comp.
Well, I shouldn't have agreed to that.
You break your hip doing this and get Odyssey to pay you for the next. She told me to do it. I'm going to get fired. You're going to have a broken hip. You're going to have $200.
Oh, man, you know what? This is starting to become more interesting.
A lot of flowers.
Because what I'm realizing is that I could actually sue. Because if I'm suing you, I'm like, nah, I don't care.
Why?
I'm sue Odyssey, though.
Mm-mm. Don't be saying that. Gosh. Everything
you just
is bad.
Said it. You
huh?
just said it.
I did
I'm
not?
Just repeating what you said.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you said that that was what I would do. And I'm taking it to heart is all I'm doing.
I'm saying it's going to be an HR complaint.
Yeah, we're going to take it to the top.
Workers' comp.
Yeah.
No double axles.
All right, I'll start with a single, work my way up. I'll jump to
you know,
jump
these
to
are
the triple.
Spins and not pieces of car,
no,
right?
No, trust me. If I ever say axle, you know I'm not talking about cars.
I'm going to find two. One, two, there's a double. We'll be right back. Bright light
city, gonna set my follow Annie on Twitter, at Annie Fry Show. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Have you ever been to Vegas?
I've never been.
Brad?
No, I haven't. I want to go, but I've never been.
I flew a red eye from LAX to St. Louis one time, and we had a layover in Vegas, and I was 20 years old. And so I was in the airport for like 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night.
And you can just gamble in the airports, right?
I couldn't because I wasn't legal.
Yeah.
But to be able to see the lights of Vegas in and out, it was pretty cool. It's a cheap place to go to because they suck you dry once you get there. Do you have a desire to go?
I do. I we're actually talking about going there next year. I don't know if we will because some of my buddies go there often enough.
Are you guys like The Bachelor guy? The movie? What's that movie called?
Not the Hangover.
The Hangover. Yeah. Is that you guys?
Not quite. I think we're a little maybe
like hard drugs.
Maybe 5-10 years ago.
Not the hard drugs thing.
No, and not the like missing person in the trunk thing.
Used to be a group of fives.
Actually, we did. That guy's in Japan right now. That's what we say. The Vegas thing is very true. I would love to go there, and I'm not a gambler, and I'm not a big drinker. I'll have a drink, but I understand that everything there, including accommodations, are pretty cheap. So I've heard you can actually do a pretty cheap vacation, but you're going to spend money on shows or you're going to spend money on gambling. And that's how they're going to get you. I don't gamble. I probably would spend money on shows, though.
But are there any shows there that you'd really like to see?
Well, the Cirque du Soleil stuff I've heard is really good, but I never know what the show, you know, they change it every season, so I never know what it is. They did a Beatles one that I really wanted to see that was all Beatles music, and the CD is awesome. But I've never seen Cirque du Soleil or Blue Man Group, for that matter. I've never seen some of the famous shows, and I would like to see some of them.
You can see Cirque at Disney.
Can you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it the same, or is it like Disney's a mild version?
I've never
version?
Seen it. You got it. It's like a separate ticket, obviously, but
So it's like a legit show.
Yeah, I feel like I would enjoy being able to experience Vegas and take it in. I'd like to play poker there just for the sake of doing it, but I really enjoy playing Texas Hold'em. I've never played with people I don't know. Never like played in a tournament. I would enjoy that though.
I would like to try blackjack anywhere really. And try counting cards, but I know that I would just count out loud.
One, two.
That's an ace. Note that. You know, I don't think I'd be very good at it because they would notice. I think you're supposed to keep that to yourself.
I'm not saying this in a intentionally judgmental way. It's just from knowing you for as long as I have and as well
this
as
is gonna
I do.
Be totally accurate.
You have got to be the worst poker player on the planet.
Oh yeah, okay. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So if I
your
were
hearts,
yeah, if
like,
I were,
I'm just gonna put these four cards right here on my sleeve.
If I were doing something that I thought might be looked down upon, not just illegal or that the casino didn't want, but I thought was socially unacceptable, I would probably be like in the sweats at a casino, especially because I've seen those movies.
I'm just talking about sitting down. I'm not talking about the way you behave and like potential cheating. That's bad. I'm talking about sitting down and getting a really good hand and being able to play it and win it, or getting a potentially really good hand and playing it out whether or not you hit or not.
Yeah, I would. If I had a good hand, I'd be like, oh, that's a bad hand.
Elbowing your neighbor. Uh-huh. Like, you want to see these cards?
Four aces is a bad hand, right?
Yeah, I can imagine. Last night, yesterday was my husband and my 17th anniversary, and we actually went to a movie and to dinner by ourselves.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah, I was like, what would be romantic? Let's go see Beetlejuice. No, we decided to see Am I Racist?
Oh, really? Was it in theaters?
Yes, oh, yes. Yeah. That's fantastic. I cannot encourage you more to go see this movie and to experience this. I feel like I want to go back and see it again. And I want to like rent a theater out, and I want it to be an Annie Fry Show theater.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I would be down with that for sure.
I was laughing so hard, and the people in the, I'm trying to think of movies that I've gone to see where I have belly laughed, and I don't know, like, it was so, so incredibly funny to watch Matt Walsh. This is the premise of this. Matt Walsh decides to go on a journey to explore his white supremacy, his inner racist, essentially. And so he goes to all of the different people who are big in DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And he goes to the author of White Fragility, which is like,
oh yeah,
a huge book in the midst of this movement. And, you know, I don't want to divulge so much that you don't need to go see the movie, because the first thing I'm going to say is it is 100% worth your money to go see. You will be entertained. There are things that you could go pay to see or pay to do that are like supporting the cause, and what you get out of it is like the cherry on top, because you
his latest is Am I
Feel Good. Sorry, I don't know why Cuomo got so excited there, because you feel good about participating in the movement. This movie is so hilariously on point, and Matt Walsh is 100% Matt Walsh. The entire time, He actually goes through the certification to get like an online DEI certification.
Oh my gosh.
So he carries a card around with him and then he starts educating people.
Is this a thing? Like the DEI card is a thing?
You remember the movie Borat?
Yeah.
He does this where Borat, what's his name?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
He made a character that was like a high level, was he a king or a prince or something like that?
Okay, yeah, yes.
But then he went into places as Borat.
Yes, from Kazakhstan.
And interacts with people as this character, and they film it, and they made a movie out of it. Matt Walsh does this with DEI people. Their Twitter accounts are all locked down now, because it released this weekend. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm just saying, get online right now. Go find your theater and buy tickets and make time to go see this movie. Matt Walsh was on with Chris Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo.
I always forget which one it is.
His latest is Am I Racist? It premieres today in more than 1,500 theaters nationwide. This is a big deal, okay? That is a big release for something like this. Maybe the biggest that I can remember. Walsh is seeking to take what he calls an uncritical journey into anti-racism and diversity, equity, and inclusion training to see where it might lead. He begins the film without a disguise and attends a support group for white people who are grieving the fact that they were born white. Take a look.
I just was here on this journey that I'm just starting, but I see that I'm not wanted.
If you were on your journey, then you would have told us who you were, your real name, but you didn't.
Are you saying basically, I needed a better disguise? Is that what you...
I don't know. Maybe. But you can figure that out as you walk out the door.
Maybe.
Yeah.
My mere presence in the room caused them pain. I'll never be accepted if I look like this. If they know that I'm Matt Walsh, I'll always be an outsider. I need to go deeper undercover.
He's just looking in the mirror.
A whole new identity. If I want to be an ally, I need to look like one.
All right. Walsh then decides to go undercover.
So Chris Cuomo has him on to talk about this, and there's going to be a lot of media coverage about this, and whether or not this does well in the theaters, well, you know more about this than I do, probably, definitely, that it needs to do well. And if it does well, it'll get more time in the theater. And if it continues to do well, it'll get more. It's money. It's all about money.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the crux of this. When Matt Walsh sits down as this, how would you describe him, Ryan? When he goes undercover, this what he what does he do to...
Okay.
Visually qualify aside as a DEI expert.
Putting on just sort of some hipster clothes, which is
skinny jeans that are lapped up.
Yeah.
A tweed jacket.
Yes. Aside from that, which really just makes him look a little bit more modern.
I still think he looks nice. It doesn't look bad.
I mean, it's done in a way that's like these fast zooms into each thing he's doing, yeah. Which is really funny. He just looks like the same guy wearing a ponytail wig. Like, there's really nothing else.
A low man bun that's starting to kind of like tussle out across and face frame his massively bearded
face. What shocks me, and even before I had seen this, because I'd seen some stuff about it too, what shocks me is that it almost is the Clark Kent thing where you go, how do you not know that that's Superman?
That's a key aspect of all of this. How do people, I mean, Matt Walsh, everybody listening, 90% of the people listening right now know something of Matt Walsh. If I said Matt Walsh, they might be like, I've heard that name before. If they saw Matt Walsh's face, they might say, well, I've seen that face before. Maybe you don't know the two, but you know something about Matt Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
He puts on this wig and just goes around in a nice outfit and is like, I'm a DEI expert. He pulls his like laminated card out, shows it to people. And the thing of it is, throughout the course of the movie, and like I said, I'm not going to give away everything about it. All of the people who are in this industry of diversity, equity, and inclusion will sit down and talk to this sham of an interviewer in this poorly wigged Matt Walsh.
It's not even a good wig.
And he tells you how much they had to pay these people to sit down with him. every single one of them was willing to do this at a cost. I'm going to read to you Matt Walsh's Facebook post that was, I think it was from yesterday, because Robin DiAngelo is the author of White Fragility. They get her to sit down and have this interview. And it's one of the previews that is out there. There's so many. You will laugh so hard watching this movie. But he has a black producer. So he occasionally brings his black producer into the scene just to like be like, here's my black friend. In one of these scenes, he pays in front of Robin DiAngelo, apologizes to his producer, Ben, for like slavery, and hands him the cash out of his wallet. And he's like, this is the best I can do right now. And what Robin DiAngelo does next is worth the price of admission without question. So Robin DiAngelo reacted because these people did not know that they were in this movie.
Right.
And so this was all put together. And Robin DiAngelo released a statement this weekend that said that she felt like something was off from the beginning of their sit down conversation. So Matt Walsh responded. Just before the film's release, Robin DiAngelo issued a lengthy statement posted to her website on Thursday. Her statement is titled, quote, about that film. Here's what she says in part, quote, back in 2023, I was contacted by a group who claimed to be making a documentary film called Shades of Justice about efforts to address racism in the United States. They plan to interview anti-racist activists, authors, and thought leaders in service of supporting the cause of racial equity. They offered me between $10,000 and $20,000 for the interview. This is her direct quote, by the way. She says, I said, let's meet in the middle with $15,000.
That's generous.
And agreed to participate. She notes, I have since donated that sum to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
Since then.
Side note, yes, Shades of Justice, this is back from Matt Walsh. Yes, Shades of Justice is one of the organizational names that we used. It doesn't really mean anything, but we figured it's kind of meaningless name that would resonate with the woke crowd, and it did. I will also say that I appreciate Robin's generosity in, quote, meeting in the middle with $15,000.
For what? A 30-minute interview?
She really gave us a deal, you see. It was a bargain. Only 15 grand to sit down for an interview. She continues, quote, this is from Robin DiAngelo. When I arrived for the interview, a few things felt off. The grips would not make eye contact with me, and the interviewer, who was introduced as Matt, appeared to be wearing an ill-fitting wig. End quote. So here's where Matt Walsh comes in to respond to this. Now, let's stop here again, Robin. First of all, the wig fit very well. That was a nice wig. An authentic wig made from real human hair I harvested myself from a homeless guy in exchange for a Snickers bar and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Second, more to the point, you claim that you noticed I was wearing a wig the moment you sat down, and yet you still did the interview? In your version of events, the crew was nervous and shifty, which they weren't, and I was sitting there in my ill-fitting wig, and things felt off. Yet, Robin, you still sat there and talked to me on camera for 2 hours. Whose fault is that? If what you say is true, then we can only conclude that you were willing to do anything just for the money, which is basically the whole point of the movie. Thank you for emphasizing it for us.
Wow.
Scene. That is the whole point of the movie. The movie is not making the case that racism does not exist, or that racism does exist, but it's not the people you think that are committing it. It's not really about that at all. The whole point of the movie is exposing the massive, massive ruse and grift that is the DEI movement, which is to create victims who can never become not victims, and victimizers who can never shed the fact that all they do is victimize people. And there are people who are willing to walk into a room under the weirdest, goofiest of circumstances, completely acknowledge the fact that everything is off and go, 15,000, I'm good. You want to talk about selling your soul? It's being done in this country, and Matt Walsh has exposed it in the most hilarious way possible. I intend to see it more than once. So if y'all be interested in going, maybe we can find a theater that will do a AFS showing. So funny.
Little update on how it did this weekend. Am I racist? Number four. Well, it may have moved up since then, but just third, over the weekend,
third,
it was barely 4.8 million, barely behind Deadpool and Wolverine at 5.2.
It did well. But it needs to do. I mean, and that's what I want. That's why I wanted to talk about it. We're going to work to get Matt Walsh on the show. He's been on the show before. I had dinner with him with the Vitae Foundation when I emceed an event for him and was able to pick his brain a little bit for an hour or two. And he was like sitting there. He was exactly like you would expect Matt Walsh to be, ready to get it done. I mean, like, very compelling in this message as well. If you didn't know it was in theaters near you, now you do. It's Am I Racist? Get your friends together and laugh your head off. Like, my husband and I went, and as we were watching it, at one point I looked over at my husband, and he had sunk down in his chair with both hands on his face and his eyebrows up as high as they could possibly be, because he was so embarrassed and amused at what Matt Walsh was able to accomplish in this movie.
I think you know what I'm going to do for my birthday.
I mean, I'm telling you what. Completely worth it. And if you do go tonight and see it, it's in Edwardsville. It's where we went to see it.
If I can get out of soccer or something, I'll totally do that.
Just
with
take the soccer team to it.
Okay. Kids, a little bit of a field trip.
My three-year-old goes, Mommy, what movie are you seeing? And I'm like, Am I racist? It's like the weirdest conversation I've ever had with Molly. All right, we got to take a break. Let's get the answers to the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. Do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's Ryan Wiggins' birthday. You can squeeze a happy birthday in the comments here on the Annie Fry YouTube channel before we go. A lot of people wishing you a happy birthday there,
Ryan. Yeah, I appreciate all those people squeezing one out. Appreciate that. Go ahead, continue.
It's hard to.
Go ahead and get on the YouTube page and wish me a happy birthday, and I will remember you forever. Love you.
How old do you feel? You're 43. How old do you feel?
20 something. I feel like I have more experience than I did at 20. So
do
in
you?
That sense, yeah.
I was gonna say, I think that's a reality.
So in that sense, I do. But yeah, it's funny. I've heard people say it for years, that you just wake up and something hurts and you're like, I don't feel any different, but why is my body not reacting the same way? I'm kind of at that point where you just sort of have things happen. You're like, oh, I guess I'm older than
I
feel.
That, and that's just going to be a thing.
And that's
now
just the way it is. A lot of the stuff we were doing this weekend on our guys trip was based in that reality now, that we're all stuff that we would have done together 10 years ago. We just can't do.
Pre-game with some ibuprofen.
Yeah, we just carried it in the car. Like, oh, we're going segwaying. You know what we
instead
did?
Instead of hiking.
Hey, that's a fact. We did not go hiking, but I was like, yeah, we can ride around on something, though. And then that lady gets hurt real bad, so, oh, boy. But we did something this weekend that it was the only really physical thing we did. It was called an immersive game box. And you go into a room that's probably about half the size of our studio. It's not very big. And all the walls are projector screens. And we did Squid Game, which is a Netflix show. And you have to do these like survival things in this game box. It was really fun. That was the most physical thing we did all weekend. And afterwards, we're going, oh, well, it's the air is so much thinner up here. It's us, you know?
Yeah, you're winded. You're 43. I think there's a difference. I'm 40, and I feel like my mental age and my physical age don't match as much as they used to. I mean, I'm still really active. I don't have a sedentary life at all, but the activity that I do is not always dictated by me. So, you know, sports practices, coaching, and being in a gym for 2 hours a day, sometimes longer than that, and being physically moving is not the same as like being able to go lift weights every day or go play a sport for myself every day. That's one thing that I wish I could figure out better, is how to prioritize physical activity for me in the schedule of a full-time job, raising children, and really prioritizing everything else before me. But I really think that at our age, I've heard people say this at least, that how you take care of your health and your body right now really pays dividends for when you're in your 50s and in your 60s and your 70s. And it's just so difficult because there's no time. You're so tired from running around all over the place. It just becomes a big challenge. Brad, you're in the same age range here. How old do you feel?
I feel like I'm like 32. Like in my brain, that's what my brain says you are. And then I go and I'll play sports or I'll go to the gym. And if I do a particular hard workout session, then I'm reminded that I'm 41. You know, the aches and pains are there just a little bit longer. You can't go as hard as you used to and that sort of thing. And man, to your point about like working in, like going to the gym and taking care of your body before, you know, now, I don't know how you can do it. I can't do it. And I don't have kids. It's just things are pulling you six ways from Sunday. And it's so hard to prioritize that.
I struggle between the understanding that sleep, if you're doing all these other things, but you're not sleeping well, you have to sleep well. And I've really tried to focus, especially leading into the Blue Angels, on my nutrition, 100 grams of protein, working on making sure I get enough fiber, and sleeping in water, and then workouts whenever I can. And it was going really well until the kids got back in school. And then my schedule just goes absolutely nuts. And I am at the mercy of it. And I can just see somebody criticizing me saying, well, you're only at the mercy of it if you let yourself be at the mercy of it. And then I feel like I should do better. And then I feel like a failure. It's difficult. It's a
nice
challenge.
Nice cycle, yeah.
Yeah.
Always ends in failure.
Well, you just got to keep trying. Speaking of failure, do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised?
I don't.
You don't? Brad?
I was a yes.
I am a no.
Me too.
Yeah. 338 votes today. Thank you for everybody who participated. 84% of you say yes.
Wow.
Which is a resounding yes. I'm actually pretty surprised that it is that big of a number. Don't go away, Mark Reardon, and all of the latest news next. I'm not a Mary the Sweet. You can squeeze a happy birthday in the comments here on the Andy Fry YouTube channel before we go. A lot of people wishing you happy birthday there,
yeah, I appreciate
Ryan.
All those people squeezing one out. Appreciate that. Go ahead, continue.
It's hard to.
Go ahead and get on the YouTube page and wish me a happy birthday, and I will remember you forever. Love you.
How old do you feel? You're 43. How old do you feel?
20 something. I actually feel like I have more experience than I did at 20. So
do
in
you?
That sense, yeah.
I was going to say, I think that's a reality.
So in that sense, I do. But yeah, it's funny. I've heard people say it for years that you just wake up and something hurts. And you're like, I don't feel any different, but why is my body not reacting the same way? I'm kind of at that point where you just sort of have things happen. You're like, oh, I guess I'm older than
I
feel.
That, and that's just going to be a thing.
And that's
now.
Just the way it is. A lot of the stuff we were doing this weekend on our guys trip was based in that reality now. That we're all stuff that we would have done together 10 years ago, we just can't do.
Pre-game with some ibuprofen?
Yeah. We just carried it in the car. Like, oh, we're going segwaying. You know what we
Instead
did?
Instead of hiking.
Hey, that's a fact. We did not go hiking, but I was like, yeah, we can ride around on something, yeah. though. And then that lady gets hurt real bad, so, oh boy. But we did something this weekend that it was the only really physical thing we did. It was called an immersive game box. And you go into a room that's probably about half the size of our studio. It's not very big. And all the walls are projector screens. And we did Squid Game, which is a Netflix show. And you have to do these like survival things in this game box. It was really fun. That was the most physical thing we did all weekend. And afterwards, we're going, oh, well, it's the air is so much thinner up here. It's
oh,
not
sure.
us, you know?
Yeah, you're winded. You're 43. I think there's a difference. I'm 40, and I feel like my mental age and my physical age don't match as much as they used to. I mean, I'm still really active. I don't have a sedentary life at all, but the activity that I do is not always dictated by me. So, you know, sports practices, coaching, and being in a gym for 2 hours a day, sometimes longer than that, and being physically moving is not the same as like being able to go lift weights every day or go play a sport for myself every day. That's one thing that I wish I could figure out better is how to prioritize physical activity for me in the schedule of a full-time job, raising children, and really prioritizing everything else before me. But I really think that at our age, I've heard people say this at least, that how you take care of your health and your body right now really pays dividends for when you're in your 50s and in your 60s and your 70s. And it's just so difficult because there's no time. You're so tired from running around all over the place. It just becomes a big challenge. Brad, you're in the same age range here. How old do you feel?
I feel like I'm like 32. Like in my brain, that's what my brain says you are. And then I go and I'll play sports or I'll go to the gym. And if I do a particular hard workout session, then I'm reminded that I'm 41. You know, the aches and pains are there just a little bit longer. You can't go as hard as you used to and that sort of thing. And man, to your point about like working in, like going to the gym and taking care of your body before, you know, now, I don't know how you can do it. I can't do it. And I don't have kids. It's just things are pulling you six ways from Sunday. And it's so hard to prioritize that.
I struggle between the understanding that sleep, if you're doing all these other things, but you're not sleeping well, you have to sleep well. And I've really tried to focus, especially leading into the Blue Angels, on my nutrition, 100 grams of protein, working on making sure I get enough fiber, and sleeping and water, and then workouts whenever I can. And it was going really well until the kids got back in school. And then my schedule just goes absolutely nuts. And I am at the mercy of it. And I can just see somebody criticizing me saying, well, you're only at the mercy of it if you let yourself be at the mercy of it. And then I feel like I should do better. And then I feel like a failure. It's difficult. It's a
nice
challenge.
Cycle, yeah.
Yeah.
Always ends in failure.
Well, you just got to keep trying. Speaking of failure, do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised?
I don't.
You don't? Brad?
I was a yes.
I am a no.
Me too.
Yeah. 338 votes today. Thank you for everybody who participated. 84% of you say yes.
Wow.
Which is a resounding yes. I'm actually pretty surprised that it is that big of a number. Don't go away, Mark Reardon, and all of the latest news next. I'm not a Mary the Sweet.